Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning and have jumped ahead to the new era. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 45, episode 2 of Survivor. Brought a bazooka to a tea party.
Chris, what's a bazooka?
Like an over-the-shoulder missile launching device.
So how is a bazooka different from a grenade launcher? Are they
The
essentially
grenade
the same
launcher
thing?
shoots a grenade. A bazooka shoots a like a missile.
But
Like a missile,
it
this is me just from what I've learned through like video games. A missile would blow up on impact. A grenade would like bounce around. So I could like bank it off a wall or
Oh,
something.
that's fair. Okay. I was like, but what doesn't a missile and a grenade both just like throw and then blow up? Like, aren't they essentially the same thing too? Just different shapes? But that's fair. Grenade launchers will, they're like timed when a grenade will blow up, where a bazooka is supposed to explode on impact.
Yeah,
That makes more sense.
from all my
I was
time
like,
playing GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64, they don't have a bazooka in that game, but they do have a rocket launcher, and it's very different than a grenade launcher. Like you can stand outside a room and bank a grenade into a room where somebody is. Can't do that with a rocket.
yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Fair. This is a real tangent, but on my paternity leave, I have been watching Grey's Anatomy from the beginning, which I think is something you did like a year ago.
Yeah.
And there's an episode where someone gets shot with a bazooka, and it's a whole thing because the bazooka didn't explode. And I was like, wait, is a bazooka basically just a grenade launcher? And so I didn't really understand the difference. So glad we cleared that up. Anyway, I wouldn't want to bring a bazooka or a grenade to a tea party, unless it's the Boston Tea Party, am I right?
I mean, it would depend on who's being targeted with it, I suppose. I mean,
Well,
but
yeah.
in similar reasons, I was going to say, like, maybe the Tea Party, like the political Tea Party, because, those guys are no fun.
What? I mean, I'm not a fan of the political Tea Party either, but I don't know if we necessarily want to like endorse political violence or domestic terrorism here.
Well, you just suggested taking it to the Boston Tea Party. That is domestic. Like, that is. What do you think that
That
was?
was 250 years ago. That's what it was.
Well, it's okay to kill dead people. I see.
Yeah, it is okay to kill dead people. They're already dead.
Did you know the how that episode with the unexploded missile was going to end? I guess like how shocked were you? Like if you knew how it was going to end, you wouldn't be shocked, but not knowing, it's a very shocking conclusion to the episode.
I'm hesitating because I like kind of knew. Like I did not know all the details, but I knew that it did explode and who all died. And I assumed that the main characters didn't die because it is a pretty early episode. I was kind of shocked because I remembered that happening, but I was like, oh, this is not a season finale. This is just halfway through season two.
Yeah, poor Kyle Chandler.
Yeah, that was sad.
Coach
Spoilers
Eric
for
Taylor.
Grey's Anatomy from like almost 20 years ago. But yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Survivor.
So we get a little bit after the tribal council from last episode with Lulu Tribe doing a mini bit of debrief. Emily's trying to say like she wasn't really attacking them. And Sabaya's like, yeah, but that like you shouldn't be pointing like blame at us. And Emily's talking about how she in a confessional, how she kind of did that because she knew she was on the chopping block. So she was just like trying to say anything at tribal council she could to have any chance of like changing things up in any way.
Which makes sense, but she also then has to deal with the repercussions of that, and she's kind of like, yeah, I was trying to save myself. Like, there shouldn't be repercussions for that. And Sabaya's pissed.
But this episode is very Emily centric, like just an arc for her because it's all down to like her or Brandon, basically. So we'll return to that storyline for sure. We get the intro credits, which Jeff had said leading up to this that there'd be Easter eggs in each one. And so I was like, ooh, did you notice any? I didn't notice any Easter eggs. And then on his podcast this week, he explained it's not really like that fun of an Easter egg. He's just like, there's going to be something from this episode in it. I was like, oh, well, that's just like Okay.
Yeah, I do think it's fun that they will like change every episode and be episode specific, but yeah. So this episode there was an extra shot of a wear advantage because that becomes like a major plot point in this episode.
Well, I was also wondering because there's a shot in it of one of them smashing, like doing the jump smash that's in the challenge.
Yeah.
Which I was wondering if that will change also, if they included that because they knew that part of the challenge would be in this episode. Because otherwise, like, you get spoilers.
No, that was also in, like, promos and stuff. I think that they just, like, really like that shot. Okay. And
because if you include, like, challenge shots, you have to be careful because that spoilers.
Right. So I think that they try to include challenge shots from, like, the first couple episodes. Because there were quite a few from episode one. Like, there was one of Bruce jumping off the boat. There was, like, Hannah falling into the mud.
Yeah.
There are quite a few of those. So I kind of assumed that that was like, they're probably, all of those shots are probably going to be for the first like three episodes.
Yeah. So after the credits, we go to Reba. Sifu's feeling really good. He tells them how he used to punch trees as a kid. He can punch stuff real hard and not feel it.
Yeah. That reminded me of another great Saturday episode where they find out that this girl doesn't feel pain. But, you know.
Jay is studying the symbols on the flag. So she, like, we know that those symbols are needed for the Beware advantage. She doesn't have it yet, but she's, like, studying it, like, seeing if she can figure out, like, a code to it.
That was very cool. She's, like, she thinks it's basically just, like, a cryptogram. Mm-hmm. And that, like, the symbols are, like, one-to-one for the Roman alphabet. Which I think is a clever idea, but it is going to be impossible because that's incorrect.
Right. Austin gets some time alone while they're off, and so he's able to actually check his Beware advantage with the flag and figures out that it says dig at fallen palm tree X. And that's all I have for Reba right now. We come back. I guess we can do the other Reba stuff before the challenge because they kind of like bounce around tribes.
Yeah,
I
love the 90-minute episode because I feel like we got so much from all the tribes, like, even before the challenge, which was great.
We did. My notes are, like, extra long this episode. Yeah. That's because there's a lot of half. Yeah. We find out that
Let's talk about toes.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up. Dee's got a really big, really long big toe. She's got, quote, big toe energy.
Yeah. You know, she said, like, this is going to help me in balance challenges in one of her confessionals. And she did really rock a balance beam in the challenges episode. I think that this is some foreshadowing by the editors that she's going to, like, do real great on some balance. Or, like, a couple seasons ago, they had a challenge where they had to, like, build a tower with their feet and they weren't allowed to use their hands. I think it's going to be some challenge like that she's going to rock because of her freakish toe.
Yeah,
I think she would be fine with me calling it freakish, but maybe I'm wrong, for the record.
Yeah, I don't know. Sifu asks them, like, hey, you guys think we'd be friends in the real world? And Julie is like, maybe you'd be friends with my kids. She's like embracing the being older and being like the mom.
I think this is a terrible move on both of their parts. Like, saying, like, I wouldn't be friends with you if it weren't for this game, terrible social strategy. And also, I'm like totally different than you. I'm your mom. I think it's also totally different. Like, being motherly and being nurturing is fine, but like drawing attention to it all the time, which is what she seems to be doing, seems like a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to like be the mom, but not say you're the mom.
You need to be a cool mom, like Amy Poehler.
Yeah. Julie proposes an alliance with Drew. And that kind of gets talked about with Dee and Austin as well. And that's what Drew wanted anyways. And so they have like a 4-person alliance of Julie, Dee, Austin, Drew. Drew says in a confessional how he wants to be the king, but he's like taking it slow. He doesn't want to like make it obvious he's like in charge, but he wants to be. And the last thing we have with them is the boat shows up and they play rock, paper, scissors to decide that Drew goes. And so before we talk about the boat stuff, we should pop over to Bello and see what's going on with them. Bruce is working real hard around camp. Katura is annoyed with Bruce. I also find Bruce annoying.
I would absolutely be annoyed by Bruce. Like, I don't know if Katura is just like having a lot more confessionals about it, or if she's correct that everyone else loves Bruce. but like he's fucking just doing the robot around camp. Like they have to find this guy annoying, right?
It was like his robot move was when I was like, "What the fuck are you doing, Bruce?" Because he was I just was looking on Reddit to see if there's like anything from there I really wanted to talk about, and nothing really popped out. But there was somebody who was like, "Bruce is Michael Scott from The Office," and I was like, "That is something." Yeah, like he literally says, "Like, is it to who does he say it to?"
Brando.
Brando. He's like, "Hey, Brando, what's this?" And he does the robot, and it's like, "Bruce, that's the robot. Like, what is the point of this gag?" And then he like hides under the rim of the boat and pops up, and he's like, "Oh, I'm still here." Like,
yeah, he what is going on with them? It is fucking wild. And they all seem to be laughing, and I'm like, this has to be like a mob mentality. Like, they all are kind of like playing this up and are gaslighting themselves essentially into thinking this is fun and funny. Yeah. It is wild. And maybe there are like actual funny things that Bruce is doing, and they're just not showing us that because this is funnier for it to be like embarrassing and ridiculous. He also is like, "Oh yeah, remember I was on season 44? I could name drop. Remember Kane? He's from Canada."
He said which, Kane, like, and I didn't even remember Kane. I was like, "What? Oh right, Kane."
Yeah, no, like, no shame to Kane at all. You were on the jury, you did great. Like, I thought that you were entertaining. You were on my fantasy team last season. But like, he was like 8th or 9th place or something like that. Like, I don't know why Kane is this big name drop thing. And at first I was like, oh, maybe it's because someone else on their tribe is from Canada. Nope, not true. No one's from Canada.
I'll be honest, when he said Kane, I thought he was talking about the wrestler Kane. And I was like, okay, that's kind of fun. And then I remembered it was the Survivor guy, and I was like, okay, that's a lot less interesting.
I did see something that was like, because Bruce was probably spoiled for season 44, because like the cast probably had like a group chat and stuff, it would be fun if he just like gave them fake spoilers and tried to convince them all that Kane won the season.
Oh, because they would have started filming before it finished airing.
Yeah, they saw like the merge, and gotcha. That's it, basically.
What was I going to say? Oh, I feel like I had a vision in my head of who Bruce was before the season started, like more so than the other contestants, for no real reason other than we got to see him for like 2 minutes of screen time last season. And how he is not at all how I pictured. And it like really is throwing me off.
Well, here's the thing. This is unconcussed Bruce. We saw concussed Bruce.
Yeah. And this is like, I don't know. And he's doing this like back and forth with trying to be fun Uncle Bruce, but then also like working real hard around camp and giving orders,
It is the part that is wild to me about Bruce is that like it would be different if this was just his personality, but he also has confessionals where he is talking about like how he is actively trying to play this up and actively trying to like put on this character. And like he's like much more analytical and calm during confessionals. But then it's like this weird partying drunk uncle dad thing at camp that is like clearly a front that he's putting on, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I just like if somebody's split, I guess like there is benefit, and we've seen it in the past of people who are like the comic relief and like the levity around camp. But then, I mean, if it was me, I would just be like, I can't do it anymore. Like if I'm split between votes, it's like, let's get rid of Bruce because I can't watch him do the robot one more time.
Right. And like, so the other thing that we see from Bello is like Brando, who's this like tiny little guy, who like self-confessed nerd or geek, I don't remember exactly what word he used. He puts on his buff as a tube top, mm-hmm. like the women are doing. And they, like, think that is hilarious and stuff. And he is, like, being goofy and silly in a real way that is, like, actually kind of funny.
Yeah. And it's...
And wins, like, they form a four-person alliance with the women and Brando because of right. this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we don't get that much time with Bello in these first couple episodes. So, like, I'm interested to see more, to, like, see more of the dynamics, but... That's mostly what we get from them before the boat shows up They also do rock, paper, scissors, and Bruce is going on this.
Beating Keturah, which is sad for Keturah.
Then
is, I guess this might be in the wrong place in my notes. Maybe this comes later, but we have that like women plus Brando alliance, but then we also have a men alliance that forms because Bruce and Jake are worried that the women are going to team up. Mm-hmm. So they form a men's alliance and add Kelly to it, which creates actually like a Bruce and Jake duo, a Keturah and Kendra duo, and then Kelly and Brando are in both sides.
Right.
And are in the middle, which I think is a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
That I'm like really excited for Bello to go to Tribal because that's going to be fun to watch.
It's definitely made more interesting when there's two people as the pivot instead of one person.
Right.
Yeah. So then let's talk about Lulu some more before the Bose stuff. Emily searching for the idol, but the others know it. And so they're like, we should probably find it before her or find her. So that way she's not just like looking for it by herself. And so they find her and Sabaya's like, hey, why don't we split up and look together? And Emily's like, yeah, it's obvious you don't want me to find it. Like, this is clear. Like, you don't want me looking for the idol alone.
She's just like, no thanks.
Right, but then they're still like kind of just like trailing her around, or like they don't want her looking for it by herself. Brandon and Sabaya find the Beware Advantage. Brandon's the one who finds it, and he's like, I don't want to open it. So Sabaya opens it.
I think that this is a wild move. Like, I think it is fine to find the Beware Advantage and like try to orchestrate your friend actually opening it so that you don't lose your vote and they lose their vote instead, but you like know all the info and it's like a alliance building thing. Like, I think that is fine. But Brandon being so like, okay, here's the thing. I'm not fucking opening this.
Yeah.
So you can open it if you want, but I'm not fucking opening this, basically, is what he says. Which is just like being so intense about it is really funny to me.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, he could have just like played it off better to be like he was thinking about it, but like almost let Sabaya do it as like a favor rather than him just being like, nope, don't want to touch that.
Right.
So she opens it and it is a clue for finding the idol. That's a different first clue than Austin had with the Reba tribe. Hers is to lay this note over top of the map that they got to like find their beach, and it will reveal the next clue. So we see like a kind of montage of this going on, or just a series of scenes with this going on where it lines up with a tree. And they use that to find part two, where there's they think it's something like up in this tree, but they're not sure exactly what. And so Sabaya asks for like a boost up, and Brandon's like, well, I could like kneel down as a table for you. And poor Brandon, he's like, I have scoliosis, so like be careful.
That's my alternative episode title. I have scoliosis.
What would that, because normally like sometimes the episode titles there's like more theme to it. So is that just like the snaky waviness of alliances and connections?
Or scoliosis. Like Brandon's breaking generally.
That's fair. And so she figures out that like Brandon's not going to be enough help to get up into this tree, so she tells Caleb and Sean so they can help her climb the tree. We return to that later, I think,
right? Yeah, we do.
Other Lulu stuff. Emily, they show a lot with Emily talking with Caleb. He tells her he wanted to work with her. She's like, what can I do to build trust? And he's just like giving her advice that she's trying her best to like listen and take in. He suggests to like lower her amount of strategizing, be positive, be helpful, share stories about herself. And she says, I brought a bazooka to a tea party and I need to put the bazooka down.
That's the name of the episode. This whole scene, I was like so impressed with. Because, like, Caleb, I think, is doing a really cool thing where, like, Emily targeted him at Tribal Council, and he's like, here's the deal. This girl has no allies. I'm going to swoop her right up, which is a brilliant move. And he also just, like, is very kind and generous in doing it. Like, truly winning Emily's loyalty here, I think.
Oh yeah.
And then like also Emily like having this giant redemption arc of just like realizing that she has messed up, going and apologizing to Sabaya, like having a confessional of like I am realizing a lot about myself, I'm realizing all of these things, and just
well, one of those like realizations she had that I couldn't help but laugh at was she said, quote, people are not stocks, people have feelings and emotions. And
yes,
I was like, yes, Emily, yes, they do, they are not stocks, because she's like a stock trader or whatever. And I was just like, oh, Emily. But it is nice. Yeah, so
that,
and she's,
I think that she knows that, like,
yeah,
but I think that she very much was like, okay, this is Survivor, it's pure strategy, like these people are pawns,
right?
And then she's like, oh shit, no, these people are people also.
Yeah, and that montage is nice because it's her like apologizing to Sabaya, but then also like purposefully talking to Brandon and Sean and just trying to like build those social connections. I wanted to mention this, and it's not my luxury item, but I texted a group chat about this that Patrick's in, that there's a Survivor video game that just came out in the past week that is not very good, but it is more elaborate than I expected. It's called Survivor Castaway Island, I think. But essentially you're like playing Survivor, so you are like a character that's like, you've got a beach, you're walking around, you've got I can't remember, five teammates, I think it's like two tribes of six to start off with, and there's like challenges, but then there's also like a timer on it where it's like, okay, you have 5 minutes to wander around the beach and like do stuff, where you can like collect water, collect wood, there's one, you can like collect food, I think, from trees or something. But during that time, you can also like talk to people and build up your social game. And whenever you talk to them, it's like, just chat about nothing. Do you want to talk about strategy? Do you want to ask them like who they're voting for and stuff like that? But you can like press a button and it shows you this social map of like lines connecting everybody. And they'll be like green, red, or yellow based off of like friendship strength, basically. And that's kind of what I pictured with this montage of Emily going to talk to somebody, is like she has all these lines connecting her to everybody in her tribe, and she's just like, they're all red right now, and she's trying to like turn them yellow or green, like just boost those, that social game up.
Yeah, which she's very successful with. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is exactly how she is viewing this, but she also is just like having a lot of realizations about herself and is clearly winning some people over in this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and on Lulu Camp, the boat shows up for them as well, and Emily's like, do you think it's for us? And Brandon's like, I can't remember exactly what he says. He's like, no, it's for blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, no shit, it's for us.
Yes.
And Brandon goes on this. You can tell they like have a discussion. They decided on Brandon, but like Emily wants to go, but they're not at the point to like trust her yet, and so they don't want her to get an advantage. And so she's like, well, I just want you to know I still want to go. And Brandon's like, well, I'm gonna go get my shoes on because I'm going. And so we get to see what this boat trip is about. No, maybe not yet. So we've seen this boat trip for the whole new era of Survivor the past four seasons.
This one's better though.
This one is better. I like the change. They all show up together. It's like, hey, you have some time to talk. And so this is Brandon, Drew, and Bruce. And Drew's like kind of trying to talk. Bruce isn't really opening up that much, which Drew has a confessional saying like he's kind of disappointed by. And then they separate and walk to their own stations, where they have like a little puzzle game that they can choose to participate in. But if they choose to participate in it, they lose their vote. If they're unsuccessful. And so it shows them all like thinking about it. Bruce decides not to play, but Brandon and Drew both do play. And they have to match
these
tiles. The
puzzle is that there's like a whole bunch of... Oh, I was just going to explain the puzzle. There's like a whole bunch of tiles, and they have to match the designs on the back of them. But there's three that don't have matches, and those will reveal some numbers that they have to put into a like... a box in order to unlock it and unlock their advantage. They have 3 minutes to do this.
Yeah, and Bruce looks like he's crushing it. Brandon looks like he's doing really well, making matches fast. It was like a neat flip of what I expected, because Drew's doing it, and every time he makes a match, he just like throws it off to the in the beach. And I was like, no, if you make a mistake, if you make a mistake, like that's gonna be horrible. Which he does at one point, but then like goes and fixes it.
Yeah.
And then the like twist on it is that Drew is the successful one and Brandon did make a mistake and just waited too long before he figured it out. I did see a screenshot of one of the matches he made to show like how close the mistake was that he made. And it was just that the tiles were like just lines intersecting in different ways, basically. And two that he put as a match that weren't actually a match were like three lines going in one direction with one line the opposite direction down the middle. And the one he matched it with was the same thing, but instead of down the middle, it was like off the middle, just like a little bit. So it was like almost a match, but not
quite. Saw that screenshot and I was like, oh, that I would have made the same mistake, I think. Like that is very tricky.
And the poor thing, the bad thing for Brandon here, and we'll find out more with the challenge, is he is not a physical person, we have found out so far for challenges. He is the puzzle guy. And what we learned from this and in the challenge later is, scratch that, turns out he's not the puzzle guy either. He's real fucking bad at puzzles, which we'll talk about when we get to the challenge.
Yeah, it was shockingly rough.
So Brandon has lost his vote. It's just one vote, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then the rest of his votes forever.
Yeah. And then Drew is successful. And so he gets what's called the safety without power advantage, a new advantage where he can.
So this is not a new advantage, but it is new to us.
Okay.
But like when I've played Discord Survivor before, this is a thing that has existed and it's pretty common in that community. So I say that because I was curious if you had heard of this or not.
So no, I thought it was new. But it says he can leave tribal council before votes are cast, and it can be used up until there are 10 people left, and then it can't be used any longer after that. And so that means like he would participate in the discussion, and then when Jeff says like let's vote, he can just be like, okay, I'm playing this, and he just gets to like leave.
Yes, so no one can vote for him, but also he doesn't get to vote, which is why it's safety without power.
Right.
But it's so. It works almost like an idol where it's like, I know that I'm in danger. I'm going to go ahead and play this, except that it's played before the votes. So then when it happens, often there's a scramble of like, oh shit, what do we do now? And then they all go vote quickly.
Oh, do you think they would allow for an open tribal after play, or it's close enough to the vote that no?
From what I hear, usually that is the case.
Oh, I don't that like they, that, they actually. They
allow for a quick discussion.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I would kind of prefer if it was just like, okay, go.
Right. Like have people have to vote and strategize for having like a plan B. And if they didn't do that ahead of time, then just like see the chaos of what their votes do. Right. Like that's more interesting. So we get some time back with the tribes a little bit. Brandon returns to Lulu and tells them what happened. He lost his vote. He was unsuccessful. Drew returns to Reba and camp is empty, and it turns out everybody was hiding and they jump out and surprise him, which was just kind of nice. And he's honest too. He tells them about it, tells them the safety without power, actually like shows it to him. And he even mentions that like they could pass it around if someone's in trouble, like if they've merged by that point or something.
Which is a great thing to say, but like obviously isn't going to happen.
Maybe. I mean, I could see, we've seen lots of stuff getting passed around in these past few seasons.
That's true.
And so, but because he told them that, it built up trust. And so Austin's like, Drew, I can trust you. I got this beware advantage. And so tells him about that. And then with Bello, this is when there's all that like talk of like the Women Alliance, Men Alliance, the Tube Tops. And we don't actually see what Bruce, we don't see what Bruce tells them on the return. I'm assuming he would just be like, hey, that's to risk my vote. And I didn't risk my vote.
Right.
And then we go to the challenge, which one interesting thing at the beginning of this is Jeff says Hannah was voted out. He did not say she quit.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I was surprised.
Yeah.
He also institutes a new rule that in the past, the whole you can't sit out back-to-back challenges, which came up last season, I think, with Claire.
Yeah.
That, like, the actual rule is that you can't sit out two challenges in the same episode, essentially. But the tribal,
like, tribal councils, like, reset it.
Right. And so, but in the new era, they are basically only doing one challenge between each tribal council. And so it allowed Claire to basically sit out every challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no longer allowed. That it is literally back-to-back challenges at all. So whoever
which will they be... sit out
this time cannot play. So,
yeah.
Or sorry, has that... to play the next time.
And it'll be interesting with Lulu being down two people by the end of this episode, because it means the other tribes are going to have to sit out two people each. So it'll, like, they have to think pretty carefully about who's going to sit out and stuff, more so than they would if it was right. just one person sitting out.
I thought it was interesting. Keturah and Sifu sit out here. Sifu was surprising to me just because he, like, his whole thing is like he's like a strong dude. So I assumed that he would kind of like play every challenge. But I was like, this one is like, swimming in that
lots
puzzle,
of swimming,
and I was
yeah.
wondering if he was like, hey, swimming's not my strong suit, like, let me sit this one out and I'll work really hard on like a strength challenge that we have later, basically.
Yeah,
I wish we would have gotten to see that, but that's just kind of my assumption, that like maybe he was like, hey, I'm not a great swimmer.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured too. So there are challenges. They have to climb up this tower, jump and smash a tile to get a key, which we've seen a bunch before, and then swim to a balance beam, go across that, and then swim some more.
The balance beam was cool because it was like a balance beam in the water, which is also already a little tricky, and then it was like also multiple tiers.
Yeah.
And Deep and her big toe were amazing at it.
Yeah. And so three of them from each tribe had to do that, and then once they got to like the final platform, the remaining two had to work on a puzzle that was a big like vertical coral puzzle.
Which also, Jeff notes, is a brand new puzzle that they've never done before. Which is another like change from Carson 3D printing all the puzzles.
Which Jeff claimed he loved. And he's like, hey, if people want to print this stuff, I love it for people to practice. And then he's like, but we got a new puzzle.
I noticed that too. Yeah. I do think that like 3D printing the puzzles would still be a good advantage because like you wouldn't be able to memorize this puzzle. But it is very similar to other puzzles that we've seen. Like, the strategy is the same. It's just not like, this is the exact pieces.
Right. This is a reward and immunity challenge. Reward for the top two is fishing gear and immunity. Reba is the first to the puzzle, followed by Lulu. And then Bellow's a little bit behind. Lulu falls back on the puzzle because it turns out Brandon's really bad at puzzles. There's like a clear shot of him trying to like see if a piece fits where the pattern of the coral is like horizontal of his piece and the pattern of the coral on like what he's trying to connect it to is vertical, like completely opposite. Like he's just like blind to the pattern and just looking at like the shape of the pieces. And it turns out the picture on the puzzle is very important when you're assembling a puzzle.
There's also like, his tribe is like yelling at him and giving him directions and he is just not hearing it at all, which is particularly rough when they're like trying to coach him and he's just like not doing it. He also is just moving slowly. Yeah. Like Sabai is running back and forth between the puzzles and the puzzle and the pieces and he's just kind of like lollygagging.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was
last to get to the puzzle, but they had like three pieces done when both of the other tribes had finished.
Yeah.
It was shocking how terrible they were at this puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Bellow was like way behind. They were like a decent leave far back for being third to the puzzle and then ends up almost winning. Like Reba and Bellow finish almost like at the exact same time. It wouldn't surprise me if Brandon, because we know he's got like in the first challenge of the first episode, like he had like a panic attack essentially. And so like, it wouldn't surprise me if he has like a lot of anxiousness in situations like that, that cause some of his senses to just like shut down. So he's like, probably wasn't actually hearing his tribe mates that well, or like fully like thinking through the stuff. But unfortunately that's the nature of the game. And so if he can't do physical challenges and he can't do puzzles, turns out he's not long for this world.
Right.
Survivor.
Right. He is still alive.
Right. Yeah, so Reba wins, Bellow gets second, and so we get to spend a little bit more time with Lulu before Tribal.
Reba and Bellow both win fishing kits. Reba's a little bit bigger because they got first place. Yeah.
So Lulu, Brandon's like, listen, I know I lost. I also have no vote, but I want to be here. And Emily's like, okay, well, I know it's between us two. And like, I can do stuff.
They have a conversation of like, Brandon, you said you were the puzzle guy. And he was like, I am the puzzle guy. And they're like, you lost your vote because you couldn't do a puzzle on the journey. And then you lost us the challenge because you couldn't do the puzzle. Like, we've given you many chances to do puzzles, and you're clearly not the puzzle guy.
Yeah. And then there's like, they're kind of like scrambling to find this idol also, like Sabaya is. And so they look for the next advantage clue. They end up finding it up in that tree. And it is a figurine, like a wax figurine. And it's like, your idol's in here, but you have to meld it. And this tribe hasn't earned their flint yet. And I thought that was so fucking funny that it's like, you did it. Oh shit, you need fire. Like, damn.
Yeah, this the idol being buried in the wax is like so genius. Uh-huh. I was so impressed with like the producers, because like that is such a clever, like deceptively simple thing of like, we just gotta melt it, but you have to do that in a public place, and also you need fucking fire.
Right. And it, and I would imagine like the instructions say melt, like they can't just like carve it out or break it open. Like it's gotta be melted.
Yeah, it says you had to melt it.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, having it, you have to have fire, and you would have to do that, like, it would take some time, so it'd be, like, publicly, yeah, it's a, that's a super, like, smart producer, like, that's a cool end to this idol hunt.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I was super impressed with that.
It's technically not finished, like, she wouldn't have her vote until she actually gets it melted, right?
Yes, because she doesn't have her vote at the tribal
right.
council.
Yes, that's true, okay.
I would also say that the step before that, where they were like trying to get the idol down from this tree, they were like convinced that this was the right tree, but they weren't like 100% positive until Sabaya is like, shit, that's a coconut. This is not a coconut tree. Like, that's what we need to get down. And they've been like trying to climb this tree over and over and over and kept failing. And then they discovered that there was this vine wrapped around the tree. And when they just cut the vine, it all fell down, which was also genius. Yeah. I was like so impressed with the show. Yeah. For creating this whole idol hunt. It was very fun.
It was well done. And it was like, I think they were like convinced it was the tree, but there's also part of it of like, but it's like really hard to get up there. Would they make it this hard? They wouldn't make it this hard. It's like, maybe we're wrong.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so there, we also find out there, or we don't find out, but I included for myself that there's only three people voting because Sabaya doesn't have her vote. Because of the beware advantage, and Brandon lost his vote from the journey that they went on. So there's just Emily, Caleb, and
Sean
voting. And Emily's just like trying to do anything she can. So she's been building up relationships this episode, trying to like change her behavior. And then she hands over her shot in the dark as a form of trust. Like, here, take my shot in the dark. She gives it to Sabaya.
Sabaya, yeah.
And she's like, take this so that way you know I'm not playing it tonight. I'm not trying to get out that way. Like, I just want you to be able to trust me, which I thought was a really good move.
Yeah, it was a brand new use of shot in the dark. It was, I thought it was genius to like, I know that you don't feel like you can trust me. Here is like an actual, here's the only thing that I can give you in this game to show you that I am like trusting you here.
Right.
I thought I was a big fan of that too. This episode had so many like really clever, really brilliant things, both from producers and from gameplay, that I was like, I really love this episode.
Yeah. Really, and there's two things I have questions about. One that I saw like somebody post on Reddit of, do you think when they go to tribal council, Sabaya could have tried to melt the idol out of the wax in the fire tribal council and Jeff would have allowed it? But like while they're discussing, she's just like, hold on a minute, I'm just gonna sit this thing right here. And just like sits it by the fire.
So I think you listened to this too. I think on Tyson's podcast, maybe they talked about like it depends on how good of TV she made it. Like, they might, probably the rule is technically no, but they hadn't told her that yet. And if she made good TV out of it, they probably would have allowed it, which right. I think is probably fair, even though that kind of annoys me as an answer. But I think that, like, I think she probably could have done it, except Emily still doesn't know about this. And so she wouldn't have done it because of that.
Right. And I don't, and I think by this point, she had just, like, they didn't need the idol right now, like, and so it wasn't that urgent, but I was just curious for like when the others show up, like if that is something that could be done.
I wondered if she could have just like not even put the whole thing right on the fire, but like slid her bag over right next to the fire, and if that would have been hot enough to melt the wax.
So like she just gets back to camp and her bag's got like a melded pool of wax in the bottom with like the idol sitting there.
Correct.
Yes. That would be cool. So then the second question, which I saw like kind of discussed on Reddit, but all of these things are like people don't know for sure because it's new stuff, is so Sabaya currently has two shot in the darks where you have to like cash in your vote to use a shot in the dark essentially. Yep. But we've seen also that there's extra votes in play sometimes. So if somebody had their regular vote and an extra vote, do you think they could do two shot in the darks?
I heard a podcast with,
or could they do one vote and one shot in the dark?
I heard an episode or a podcast with Marianne where she clarified, like, here are the actual rules for shot in the dark.
Okay.
And she said that what you are doing is giving up your ability to vote, not just giving up your vote.
So you, okay. So then you wouldn't be able to do either of the things I said.
Right. She made it clear that, like, they were told that if they got an extra vote, they could not do like a shot in the dark and still play the extra vote. That the shot in the dark is giving up your ability to vote, not just a vote.
I think I am fine with that. I do think there could be some fun because the shot in the dark is such low odds of actually like something happening. I think it could be a fun thing if you could like somehow amass extra votes and be like, all right, I'm cashing in two shot in the darks. So like, let's go.
Yeah. I also think it would be fun if they banked, like if you had two shots in the dark, can you play both of them? Marianne says no, but like, I think that would be a cool strategy of like Sabaya keeps this because now her shot in the dark is 1 out of 3 instead of 1 out of 6.
Wait, why would it jump up to 1 out of 3?
Because it would be a 2 out of 6 chance.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. 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 My guess is she'll probably just give it right back to
Emily, I assume so too. Like, especially because she can't do that. So it would have to be that she plays her shot in the dark on two separate tribals, and that is probably not going to happen. Like,
right. So how did you like at Tribal Council Jeff telling us his nice history of being a water boy?
I forgot about that until I just saw it on here. Yeah, that's another great thing of this episode, that Brandon was like, man, you know, I'm just here to be like really supportive and I'm trying my best. And Jeff was like, I tried out for the basketball team and they were like, you're not good enough, but you could be the water boy. I thought that was a very funny story from Jeff. Great character building from him. And also he was like, here's the deal, Brandon, you suck and you shouldn't be able to participate in things.
Right. It was like weird because like Jeff loves a metaphor, but this wasn't like a metaphor. It was just like, you know what, Brandon, I also sucked at something and you currently are sucking at something. Like Jeff's usually, I feel like, isn't calling people out like that at Tribal Council usually. So it was fun. I like the mean story.
And the like underlying, I was so bad that I didn't get to participate in things and they had to give me a different job. But that's not an option for you, Brandon. Like, if you're here, you're still going to be competing in challenges, and so they better get rid of you, was, like, the underlying message, which was wild to me. It's very open at Tribal that it is between Brandon and Emily, and so Jeff asks both of them, like, if tonight's your night, what does this mean to you? And Brandon Emily also has a heartwarming thing, but it is whatever, essentially, because she doesn't go home.
Right.
But Brandon is like, this has been my dream forever, this has been amazing, like, I am so grateful that I've gotten to be here for 5 days, yada, yada, yada.
Yep. And so he gets voted nice out 2-1.
Nope, 3-0.
Wait, what? Yes. Yeah, that's right. I think I just put it down as 2-1 because I was like thinking like he had a vote, but he's one of the ones that, yeah. Yeah, they show
probably a vote of Gummy.
Let's see. I didn't check.
I guess it might have happened elsewhere in the new era, but 3-0, I feel like, is a weird one.
3-0 has happened from idols before, but never from this sort of thing.
Never just treat up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a Photogami. That's fun. I forgot. They show us a preview for next week, which had, I noted down, D caught Drew cheating in some fashion. Somebody says, gotta be Caleb.
She sees him digging, which is probably for his idol hunt. And so she is like, what the fuck is he doing? He must know something that I don't know. And they're supposed to be in an alliance. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, something with gotta be Caleb, a camp raid as like a reward or something. And then Jake collapsing by a fire, which...
I'm real worried for my boy Jake.
Yeah, that really gave me flashbacks to season two with Michael Sculpin.
Michael Sculpin, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting there. The things in play in the game right now, it's very possible I missed some stuff, so let me know. I have Austin has a beware advantage, which means he can't vote right now. Sabaya also beware advantage. She can't vote right now. She has like the wax, the idol in wax. Austin is not there yet. Drew has the safety without power advantage. And then I had that Brandon has no vote, but he's gone. So it's still accurate, but no longer.
Yeah. Much easier to keep track of than last season also.
It's at least so far. I mean, so far. Yeah. We're two episodes in and we have three things in play. So we'll see. Yeah. So fantasy-wise, lots of points. I've bumped up to first place currently, depending on who our MVP is. Patrick and I are both down a person. But with that, we should probably name an MVP.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready.
I think I'm ready, too. I'm not happy about it, but I have an answer.
I'm like kind of split. Okay, no. Yeah, okay. I'm ready. I changed it from who I originally was going to say when I said I was ready. All right, 3, 2, 1. Caleb.
Drew. Oh, I almost said Caleb.
My gut went to Sabaya right away, and then I was like, no, she sat out of the challenge. But I feel like she...
Sabaya didn't sit out of the challenge.
Oh, that was Keturah. You're right. Oh, shoot. Maybe I should have stuck with her then. But no, I think I like Caleb more anyways from my extra thought with it. Basically, even though they were on the losing tribe, Caleb just like really has a lot of... I feel like power in his tribe, like Emily, he's helping Emily guide Emily, which is like building up a super strong connection there. He's also tight with Sabaya and knowledge of her idol and stuff. And so, yeah, I feel like he did good, even though he did have to go to tribal council.
Yeah, I thought the same thing about Caleb. I almost picked him. I ended up picking Drew instead, though, because he got that safety without power. He got into like a majority alliance on his tribe, and he... Austin told him about his beware advantage, so he has like this duo within his alliance also. So I feel like he's just set up really well. Now, granted, the next time on Survivor looks like he might get caught in a pickle, and that might be a problem for him, but for this episode, I think he did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate because he's not on my team, and he's on your team, and I want him out. So,
well, he's got the power of two people. He's both Drew and Basile.
That's a great point.
Other predictions maybe last week.
Try his points in half.
Well, no, we double them. Last week, Patrick and I predicted the episode title would be said by Sabaya or Jake. We were wrong. And we predicted the next boot would be Julie or Emily. And we were wrong. Neither of us had picked Brandon for our final three. So that's good. I thought about it a little bit because I was like, man, he really sucked in this first episode. Maybe it's going to be some cool, like, real, like, arc redemption thing. And I was like, no, he's real bad.
I now almost feel that about Emily. I'm like, I could see Emily getting to the end at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All of our other, like, season-long predictions, nothing, not a whole lot changed with that. There is, like, almost an idol in the game, but technically not yet until it's out of that wax. There was a non-idol advantage of the strength without power that Drew got.
Safety without and, power.
Safety without power. And then this was a unanimous vote of 3-0. And so there's one of those. So that's good.
I'm keeping my final three the same.
Yeah,
Kelly, same. Austin, D.
Kelly, Sifu, and Jake. Let's hope Jake can recover from falling in the fire, near the fire. Next week's episode is called No Man Left Behind. And if it factors into any of your other predictions, the week after that is called Music to My Ears. But next week is No Man Left.
Who's gonna I'm going to say that No Man Left Behind is said by Bruce about Jake.
That's a good guess. I'm going to guess mostly because I'm trying to... With our season-long predictions, I predicted Jeff would say 2 episodes. This seems like something Jeff could say, so I'll say Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I can see Jeff saying that.
It could be like something he says in a challenge of something, No Man Left Behind. Who's going to be the next boot?
I don't think it's actually going to be Jake. Like, I thought about it being a medevac, but I don't think that's actually true. I don't think, I'm hopeful that it wouldn't be quite so televised. I am going to say something crazy and say Sabaya, because there was a little thing in the preview about, like, Sabaya throwing some shade on Caleb a little bit and being a little nervous about Caleb. Mm-hmm. And I think that might blow up in her face. And
Caleb's got a strong Yellow with Emily.
Losing Sabaya might get sent home.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to hope it's not another Lulu loss.
I mostly, also hope that.
Mostly because I want to see other tribes. Like, I do kind of like when, like, I don't mind if a tribe just keeps losing, because it just is interesting to, like, kind of be different. But I want to see other tribes go to tribal. And so I'll just stick with who I'm going to say Bruce. I was going to say I'm going to stick with Julie, but Bruce annoyed me with his robot. And so I'm going to just put it out in the universe that he's gone next.
Yeah, that's fair. You think that Jake is going to have a medical problem and Bella is going to go to tribal and they're still going to keep Jake?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to have a medical problem.
That's true.
Like, we don't.
I saw people saying that it almost looked like he had a seizure, which is scary to me, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to see. You got a luxury item this week?
I do. I am going to recommend the album Guts by Olivia Rodrigo.
Mm-hmm.
It's her follow-up to Sour, which was really big like 2 years ago. And I originally had kind of mixed feelings about Guts. It is much more like almost like 90s grunge in parts of it than I would expect from listening to her first album. But it also is like very fun and has multiple songs that get stuck in my head all the time. If you want to listen to just one song off of it in order to get like a general vibe and just hear a great bop, I'm going to recommend Getting Back, which is just a very fun song that kind of is like, it's like a breakup song where she both wants to get him back in like a revenge sort of way and also get him back in like a get back together sort of way. So it's a lot of like fun wordplay dichotomy stuff happening throughout the song. And it has just been in my head for weeks at this point. But yeah, the whole album is pretty good. I do think that there are a couple songs that are a little bit weaker, but like there are also songs like Get Him Back that are really, really, really good.
Nice. Yeah. If you like, I haven't listened to the album that much, but I did listen to the single Vampire a lot. And that felt very much like it could have been on Sour. Like it was the same vibe as Sour.
Yeah.
A little more angry, but yeah.
Yes. Vampire is good. Bad Idea, Right was another single that was released before it, and that is also pretty good. So any of those three songs I would recommend. But the whole album is great.
Nice. I'm also gonna bring an album. I went to a concert last night that was Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service.
I'm so jealous of you.
Where Death Cab for Cutie, it was the 20-year anniversary of Death Cab for Cutie's album Transatlanticism. The concert last night was actually 20 years to the day, the anniversary.
Well, that's
And Postal Service's album, Give Up, also 20 years.
Their only album, right?
Yeah. Both fronted by Ben Gibbard. And he and his bandmates are all from Seattle. So it was an extra cool show because I got to see them in Seattle. And I was not as into Death, like I didn't get into Death Cab's music until college, and but the Postal Service album I listened to like nonstop in high school for quite a while, like that, and I hadn't listened to it in probably like 10 years or something, and I purposely didn't give it a re-listen going into the concert, and man, that album is so good. And
I listen to that album at least once a year. I love that album so much.
I'd never been to a concert where they just played like an album. And so both of them, the bands just played like the album straight through, like start to finish. And it was awesome. It was so cool. Yeah, I loved it. It was fantastic. Yeah. And the Postal Service was one that like when I used to listen to it in high school, I was like, man, I would love to see this. But they only have this one album and it's not really like a band anymore. They just like did this one album and that was it. So I would never get to see it. And turns out I was wrong. 20 years later, got to see it across the country. And that was great.
Yeah, they are only doing like West Coast shows, at least as of right now, and I am jealous.
I mean, I think that's probably not like as of right now, because this ticket was purchased like over 6 months ago, I feel like. So I don't think they're adding tours dates, but who knows?
I'm just trying not to be too sad about it.
Yeah. It was a very fun difference. So they started with Death Cab and they played all of Transatlanticism, which is not very upbeat, very sad. And they all wore black. And then there was just a 15-minute break. And then the Postal Service came out, which is Ben Gibbard and like the one of his keyboardist, guitarist guys played in both. And then it was Jenny Lewis and like some other people. But they wore all white for that. And it was just like cool contrast. And the Postal Service album is much more like upbeat and dancey. And so it's just like fun going from like sad Ben Gibbard to like fun Uncle Ben Gibbard, because he was just like dancing around happy and stuff.
Oh yeah, that man, that sounds really cool. Also, I was incorrect. They did play some stuff on the East Coast in like New York and Boston and stuff, just not in the Midwest, not close to me really.
Could have come to Seattle. They did two shows here.
Yeah, I could fly out like right now and get to their Berkeley show, but and go to California, but I'm not gonna do that because reasons.
All right, cool. Listeners, why don't you recommend an album to us? We just gave you two, so like maybe
Three.
you start. Well, yeah, I guess my plug was really the Give Up. Transatlanticism is great also, but Give Up is my plug. Yeah, we're like sitting here giving you recommendations and stuff like week after week. And what are you doing for us, huh? Give us
Yeah, what are you doing
recommendations.
for us, listeners?
Email us, tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Sounded like you said
Nope.
A, B, C, G, E, F, G. Are you
Nope,
reordering
I
the
didn't.
alphabet? I don't know. We'll
Nope.
listen back. If it sounded like it, I'll leave this in. If it didn't, I'll cut it out. And win for
Oh,
me.